and gentlemen, you're listening to Fires with Gray. This is Ryan Thompson, the quote-unquote non-pedestrian movie reviewer, and I love and personally adore movies. Johnny Starr is an absolute genius of comedy. He loves to make me laugh my butt off.
Can't get Indiana off my mind. That's the place I long to see.
Long nights in the small room with the big dreams. Oh, Indiana, you're only dying here.
All about
fire.
Hello.
Well, welcome to PGI Indiana, episode 36. Yeah. Wow.
Fireworks Brigade, a pyro podcast. Yes, episode 36, a special one. We're in LaPorte.
We are in LaPorte, Indiana. And you know, it's funny. It amazes me the music. I'm always so interested to hear the music you pick, and it's funny because I didn't know any of the Indiana songs.
The last one was Michael Jackson.
Well, I didn't know that one, but the one I do know, and I actually sing it when I'm going over the border every time I drive anywhere, and you know I do a lot of driving.
Yeah,
is that Indiana wants me,
right?
Lord, I can't go back there, and I always say that. That's like one of my favorite lines.
You know, and I'm exactly the same way, because when I knew we were going to Indiana, I was like, well, I got to get that song. And that's the phenomenal thing about iTunes these days.
You can just buy
one song for 99 cents, and I forgot the guy's name who does that, but I was like, oh, this song's got to be in there. And we had, well, Indiana Jones was in there from the movies, and then there was Melissa Etheridge, and then
I like Melissa Etheridge. Yeah. I didn't know she sang a song.
Yeah, that was
Indiana,
and then there was some other one that I don't know who sang it, and then I think the first one was like, I want to say Bing Crosby or something like that.
Yeah, that sounded like a real old, But it was, it's actually great. But every time I'm driving, I always say that to myself. Indiana wants me. There are a lot of states that do want me. So Indiana being one. And, you know, obviously, as you see at the PGI, people are loving Star Fireworks here.
My God, this place is insane.
Yeah, they stuck me in a back building, the longest vendor here. But they stick me in a back building. But you know what? I survive because, people know me. They look for me.
Everyone wants to swim in your pool. They know that. So you're a draw. So they're going to put you wherever because they know you're going to get people.
So I actually like this building, though. You know what? I'm not with all the rest of the yahoos over there. I don't have to put up with all their crap.
Yeah.
And the serious buyers just come over to see me. And then they go back to their building and wait around, which is great.
Yeah. These people love loud. Actually, I'm looking at a cake over there. Love loud.
Yeah,
I love loud.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. These people here, they love loud. You have one here. Was it the...
Yeah, Burning Aces seems to be the one that,
your guys can't get it out of the truck fast enough.
No, I know. They seem to be selling that one good. And everything is really good. A lot of good product here in Indiana this year. And, one of the busiest PGIs, because when you put a PGI in kind of centrally located, you draw from the East Coast, you draw from the West, you draw from the South, the North. So this is a very good venue for PGI, and it's only going to get busier. You know, this is nothing. You know, come Wednesday night when everyone starts piling in here, it's going to get even more crowded. You know, new crop of people always come on Wednesday. You know, they come on Wednesday, they'll go to this trade show Wednesday, or you know, Wednesday night, Thursday night, see the big show Friday night, and head home. It's a long week. Yeah. You know, if you don't have the and all that.
I was wondering about that because you have a lot of product here, a lot.
Yes.
And obviously you know what you're doing. As you said, you're the longest tenured guy here about. And I was thinking because it's a convention, you know, you only have a certain, you know, amount of people here. And after they all buy, who else is left to buy? But what you're telling me is we've only, like, this is only the tip of the iceberg.
And right now a lot of people are, the smart people are spending money and they're not trying to dicker down on price because they know you're just going to sell out of it.
Right.
So we're in right now what we call a holding pattern. You know, people are checking all these prices. You know, the big buyers came out yesterday like, give me, I don't care. I know it's going to be sold out. And they were right. And they're still coming today saying it's sold out. I can't believe it. But then you got the other guys that are just wading. They're like sharks wading in the water. They'll let everyone get it out and they're going to try and make the best deal on the last day, you know, or whatever. But by the time the last day comes, a lot of the good product that they might want it is going to be gone. I mean, I know I'm going to be out of a lot of product by. I mean, that's what I need to do, you know.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and you need to get some room in those trucks.
Yeah.
Jeffrey and Cody and Brady, they're scrambling in there.
Oh
man.
Yeah, it's.
I saw you. A couple people haggling, but I mean, you went down like $5 or something.
Yeah.
You didn't. I mean,
yeah. These prices are very low because they're all members here at the PGI. So really, it's really like buying wholesale. Anyway, so there's really not much room to go that much lower. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Not like we mark it up and then we mark it down. We don't play that game at Star Fireworks. That's why our prices are a little bit cheaper than a lot of other ones. But, you know, I'm not going to raise them up and dicker them down. I mean,
no, it makes no sense.
It's too hard.
Yeah, like the people across the way, I see they have a sign, buy one, get one free. That really doesn't fly here, does it?
Yeah, no. See, they don't want two items they don't like. They don't want one they don't like. They want, this is a convention for what I call the Cherry Pickers Convention. This ought to be called the Cherry Pickers Convention.
Instead of PGI.
Yeah, people just come here, they only want a certain thing. You know, this guy's trying to sell merchandise you'd get at any store. They don't want that. They want something that goes loud and boom. If it doesn't go loud and boom, they could care less about it.
Yeah. Well, this is, maybe we should explain what actually PGI is. PGI is a pyro... Technicians Guild of
International.
Okay. So, and it's, it's right here. Pyrotechnics Guild International Convention, and it begins August 6th, which was yesterday, and it lasts through August 12th, and we're in the LaPorte County Fairgrounds. Doors open every day at 5:30, and it travels each year throughout the U.S. Last time it stopped in LaPorte was in 2012.
And
you were here at that time.
Yeah.
How is it this time compared to last time? Same?
It's about the same. We've met a lot of good customers in 2012, and we're meeting a lot of new ones and good ones now. It's about the same. I think attendance is actually up from 2012.
Okay.
2012 was a bad year because of the drought. But luckily we got rain before the PGI, but a lot of people didn't buy as much at that PGI because a lot of people had a lot of leftover merchandise. Yeah.
Right. And then last year it was in Wyoming, which I didn't go to because that's really far.
Yeah. And that's what happens. A lot of people don't go that
far
west. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're in North Dakota, so it wasn't that bad. But like from somebody here in Indiana or even in Chicago, going to Wyoming was just, and it was the plane flight was even worse.
Oh, yeah. And that's why there's 15 vendors here because, you know, like some of these vendors I've never seen before, but they only go to the shows that are convenient. You know, when you're a guy like me, we go to all the shows,
And next year it's in Fargo.
Yeah, it's in our backyard. I get to work double shifts every
day.
There you
go. Dino must love that. How's Dino doing? He's good.
Dino's doing pretty good. Yeah,
he was a little ornery today. We were waiting with the corn. Him and Steve had to get some food in them, and they were...
Well, they don't miss a meal. That is one thing.
No, they do not.
You know, like, there was a lot of stuff going on yesterday, and...
they had to eat.
And I didn't eat nothing all day, and I got two hot dogs when I paid for all the food out there for FFF, which is Food Fireworks Fun Forever.
Yeah.
And that's what FFF stands for, and it's basically... on Saturday and on Thursday of this week, we feed everybody the best we can. Of course, we can run out of food. You know, you're feeding thousands here, but
you're going to try.
We try to do it, and we do it on a very, very low budget.
Right.
And hopefully, everyone donates, and we actually get some money in because, you know, I put out all the money for it. I took it over this year from Gary Lilich, who had it for 25 years, and he really wanted to retire. So he's kind of helping me, but I don't want him to do everything. But so we kind of laid out a lot of money for it, and hopefully we get, you know, we get some of it back would be nice. We just don't know, you know.
Well, from what I saw today, laying out the money is not a problem. Or, I mean, obviously you lay out the money, you'd like to get some type of goodwill for it, so to speak. But the problem is that, I mean, you got to do all the work, like with the corn the ice and stuff. I mean, you need a full-time person.
Yeah, everything is done by volunteers here, but I was still, like, I had to go pick up the buns and then go pick up the ice, and I'm behind the booth. It's busy. I'm like, oh, my God, it's a day. I got to get the buns. I mean, it's like, now I got to feed the people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot more work on me. But, you know, I mean, you sit on, board directors for foundations and volunteer help, and I do the same thing. So we believe strongly in that. I've always had this conversation before that a lot of the young people do not make time in their life to help anybody else anymore. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
You know, you had the Knights of Columbus and you had, muscular dystrophy and all these different foundations and funds. Like I belong to WACO, Woodfield Area Children's Organization.
Uh-huh.
And all those old timers are dying off, and nobody's filling these spots because they don't want to make time for it.
You know?
And unfortunately, though, I do realize our jobs are a lot more demanding than the jobs of years ago. You know, the pager and the telephone, and you know, then now the internet, the email. So the jobs are no longer like you get off at 5. I'll donate a couple hours at night.
Right.
But now it's like you get off at 5 and you're still working at 9 o'clock at night in your house. I mean, it's so
right. And now it's even if you're on vacation, you're still at work. Yeah, that's.
So I do know that's a big thing, but a lot of young people do not make the time to help anybody else out. There's a lot of money being made by a lot of young people, but they spend it all, and it's not like, oh, I don't have any to give away, and I have nothing to donate.
Yeah,
there's a couple of vendors here that make a lot of money, and they donate nothing. And they're like, I think it's stupid. Why should we have to? I could just go get my own food. I mean, but it's not really. That's not the spirit of the PGI. The spirit of PGI is everyone together, keeping people here, eating, watching fireworks, keeping them near the vending so they can eat and go back in.
Right.
That's
the
thing.
Yeah, and that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
The charity board that I'm on, we're having the same problem. I mean, the board has been around, and, you know, it's a local of a national non-for-profit, but we're having a problem with succession plan because we're all getting older, right? And, I mean, we even started a junior board. But, you know, and like I was telling somebody else on our senior board, I was like, it's like trying to herd kittens, you know, trying to get them to show up, trying to get them to answer the junior board to answer emails. And these days, the schools even make them do things like that for college credit and stuff. But they still, you know, they expect everything handed to them. And believe me, I have a 17-year-old son, and I know he a lot of times he expects to have things handed because they put them on the junior board, and I was like, no, we don't want to do that. No, and they wanted to do it, and I appreciated it because it looks good on a college resume, you know?
Sure.
But I'm like, but you don't understand. You're giving him that job, but you're ultimately giving me that job because if I don't watch over him, he's not going to do
it. He's not going to do it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then, you know, the whole theory, you let him sink or swim, but whatever. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, the convention is a hobbyist convention for people of all ages and backgrounds, and they come together to share information about fireworks. There's like things where you make fireworks, fireworks safety.
Yeah, there's all kinds of classes. Like today, you saw all the young kids coming in, they passed their safety class, so we give them. They go to all the vendors, they get something for free.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're giving out sparklers, you know, if they pass. And, of course, you know, I tricked them all with my trick questions. You know, I asked them, little kids come up, you know, they look at me like I got three heads. But I'm like, you know, so what hand do you hold the Roman candle, in the right or the left? You know, and the little boy's like, the right hand. The girls are really difficult to fool with. You know, they're look at you and they're like, you're not supposed to hold it. You know, they're very, you know.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the girls are much sharper.
The girls are really sharper. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm a guy, and I hate to admit it. I probably didn't admit it when I was their age, but I see it now, you know, dealing with them. So, and then, you know, I always say, how many feet do you throw the firecracker away from you after you light it, you know? And then
the
little boys, are, you know, they just fail miserably.
That's boys.
But, you know, they still get a prize here, so give them something, you know. But all kinds of classes, shell building classes.
Yeah.
The junior pyros put on a great show here. They go around like they were here today. bought a couple of cases of product. They're going to put them in their show. So there's a lot of that, of that. So they're going to light off a lot of stuff here in a couple next couple of days, I think Wednesday or something like that. And there's a big guy that's been working with them for so many years, older guy. Once again, he's been working with the Junior Pyros forever. And he comes around, they're always a good guy. And now I there's a new guy this year, and I said, where's Frank? And they said, Frank's resigning tomorrow at the board meeting. So there's
really
a guy that's been doing this for probably 20 years, you know, and he just said,
and
you know,
enough is enough.
Yeah, he's getting older, and it's hard to walk around at all these vendors with the kids and keeping track of their money, but, you know, it's a labor of love.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, well, that's just it.
You know, so, and Gary, like I say, Gary retired last year, so this year I decided to take over the FFF, and when it's in Fargo, it's going to be a little bit easier for me because I have a lot more resources and refrigeration and different things like that, you know,
right.
So, but it's working out.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. You'll have a lot easier,
and I'll have a lot more staff in Fargo, so I'll be able to, you know, bring more people in because we really are shorthanded here. We need more people, and
you need at least three more people.
Yeah,
or so.
We need like six behind a booth and four more in the trailers. I mean, that's how.
Yeah, your
trailer
guys are dragging a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Paul Smith is the vice president of the PGI, and let's see. He said, according to him, more than 2,500 people from all over the world will be attending this week-long seminar and public displays. It's a chance to work with fireworks, make them, and display them, Smith said. It's a lot of information sharing, like you said, workshops, teachings, and hands-on experience. This is how you do it. The display shows are put on by fireworks companies. They're trying out new pieces and just having fun putting on more shows. The Friday night show, apparently, is going to be the biggest and most advanced firework display ever to be put on in the Northern Hemisphere? Really?
That's what they're saying, yeah. It's supposed to be unbelievable.
Friday night. I'm here on the wrong night.
Yeah. Well, definitely that, but the right night for us.
and also, there's been a little bit of drama here. Wait, hold on. Talking about songs. You know what this one is?
The Danger Zone.
Remember this?
Yeah.
From what movie was this? Top Gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, there's been a little bit of drama. They're saying some of the people around here have been complaining. Pirates, 16-inch mortars and gunpowder-filled devices could rattle homes and nerves. We're talking fireworks could be as 650 feet away from my house. They're commercial-grade fireworks. We're talking 16-inch mortars, John Haney said. The LaPorte Animal Shelter is moving all of its dogs, and people have been told to take their pictures off the walls, remove dishes from their shelves ahead of the convention. Is that really necessary? The people are like going nuts. All the newspapers are reporting this.
Yeah, see, I don't know who leaks this stuff, but I mean, you know, if you're going to shoot off a 16-inch shell, people don't know it's going off. Just let it go off, and then, you know, taking pictures off the wall. I've never taken a picture off the wall, and I shoot stuff right outside my door all the time.
Right.
I mean, and the 16-inch shell goes up so super high. I mean, you know, they're... yeah, it's crazy. But now, on a good note, like some guy came here today from the board here, and they said, "I need 5 12-inch guns. Do you have them?" Well, Star Fireworks has everything, so I'm like, "Of course we do." Boom, sold. So I'm looking forward to those 16-inch. We shot off 24, and we shot off a 48 years ago in Amana, Iowa. It was incredible.
Yeah, but
so you know, this is nothing. 16. Child's play.
Well, apparently, like, people have been, you know, dogs are complaining about their dogs. Jacqueline Haney, what am I supposed to do with my dog? He doesn't need to deal with all of this stuff.
Yeah.
This is in the, what is this in? The NWTimes.com.
Well, maybe Jacqueline Haney looks at everything from her little world.
Yeah.
But now you saw, like, the round-the-clock restaurant jammed up
Tried to tell the waitress because she complained about the traffic.
The traffic. But,
and I said, but they're all spending money.
Yeah, look at all the money. I mean, you know, and so that's why a town like LaPorte wants us here because we spend a lot of money. We bring a lot of people. And then look at the hotel rooms are filled up. I'm staying 30 miles away, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, so... you know, it's good for cities, and yeah, it's a little bit annoying sometimes. But if you like fireworks, it's not annoying. If you hate fireworks, well, then you shouldn't live in Indiana because you've been putting up with fireworks in Indiana since I've been a kid.
They've so, always been legal here.
Yeah,
right?
They've always been legal. It's a very fireworks friendly state. So this is like no big surprise. What did she do with her dogs on July 4th?
Well, yeah. So it's Jacqueline and Joe Haney, and they're alarmed by the recent discovery that military like explosives would soon be going off close to their homes.
Wait till tonight. They'll really be.
They're not very happy with the suggestions to remove their dishes. I shouldn't have to do this in my own house, said Haney.
Don't.
Who lives on Joliet Road, close to where PGI will hold the convention and LaPorte Fairgrounds. And this is what got me about the danger zone, because he even said it. Joe Haney said his property is just 650 feet away inside what is he described as the danger zone. And then, you know, the Haneys, then, you know, the guy from the, you know, the couple brought their concerns to LaPorte County commissioners this week, who voted to make sure any damage caused by the fireworks is paid for by the PGI, and that residents within 1,000 feet of the show are to be given earlier notification by the LaPorte County Fair Board prior to another future convention. I'm wondering if they're not going to let this convention come back in 4 more years. Decker, who's on the State Fire Marshal's office, he says they're in compliance. Who also told the couple permission had been granted by the Indiana State Fire Marshal's office. Of course, they're going to get permission. You guys are going to do this without it.
Yeah.
And the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. So, you know, everybody obviously goes through, you know, you dot your I's, cross your T's, but there's always going to be some people.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's always some people that just don't like fireworks. And, you know, but, you know, there is more concern over pets than ever before. Now, I don't know. Are these dogs? See, I guess people are coddling their dogs like they coddle their children.
Yeah, we always talk about
that. We had a dog, but we always let off fireworks. We never thought nothing of what's the dog going to do. The dog would go hide underneath the bed.
Right.
I mean,
the dog hides
on
the bed for a week and then you're done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, now all of a sudden, more and more hoopla over, like, the animals and the animals. Just once again, more tree huggers out there. Jesus.
Yeah, well, we've.
What I called fireworks huggers, maybe. I don't know. Firework huggers.
Well, no, they would be silence huggers.
Silence huggers.
Yeah, silence huggers, because they don't like the noise, and they don't like what their pets have to go through when this. But
does the pet really complain? I don't know. I never heard a dog. Well, does he howl? You know, if he goes underneath the bed, maybe he's just tired.
They might shake, and I don't know. You know, you got to get one of those thunder shirts.
Yeah, we got the pet medicine.
There you go.
Know, so we should have sold that here. I forgot. But. Yeah, so I just think that it's a great venue, and it brings a lot of money into the city, and that's what you need at the end of the day because, you know, I mean, someone's got to support all these restaurants and businesses. And, you know, I even noticed driving down the same road I took today, a couple of gas stations that we used to stop at all the time that on the way back from another location here, gone, out of business. You know? So, you know, it's good to see. You got to have people coming through your state, you know.
Yeah, and the PGI certainly does it. I mean, there's
and they do a really good job managing things. They got big safety teams. They got their own fire people on board. I mean, they really do a very good job, and that's why so many cities vote for us to come back.
Yeah, there was a truck outside earlier driving by just spraying all the sidewalks.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just so nothing starts on fire.
Keep the dust down. Keep everything
down. Yeah.
And they'll spray out in the fields there. I mean, and if there's a fire starts, they stop the show, go out, take care of the fire, then resume the show. So sometimes Friday's show can last a long time, just putting out a lot of fires, depending on how many they start, you know, depending on how dry it is and stuff. But they really do. They really go above and beyond what probably any other organization would do to make it happen. And so does the NFA, you know.
Well, right. Yeah. Well, and I was out there earlier by the launch site or whatever you want to call it, because people can buy things. Or a lot of times somebody will come up to you and say, hey, what does this do? And you just give them a sample and say, here, go try it out if you like it or whatever. You know, and if they like it, they come back, hopefully buy some. But there was probably 5-6 guys out there in their, you know, fluorescent vests, and there's like 5-6 fire extinguishers out there. They had the whole thing, you know, fenced off so nobody could get in there and whatever. It's very, very, very safe. So there's no, you know, knock on wood, nobody gets hurt or anything. But it's definitely it's a convention for the love of fireworks.
Oh,
and if you'll get a chance next year. You know, if this thing goes up early enough and you listen to us and you want to come out and see it, say hi to John. But certainly next year you want to come out to
Fargo, North Dakota.
Go out to Fargo. And then you can even stop by the world-famous Star Fireworks.
Yep, you can see us right there. Yeah,
yeah. So
any day.
Now, and you've you got here what day? Thursday?
Friday? I got here Friday morning.
So did you see any of the Olympics?
No, I have not seen any Olympics, no. All right.
We'll go a little Olympics on you here.
Okay.
So you know they're in Rio, right?
Yes.
So you didn't see any of like the opening ceremony and stuff. But obviously they always have the fireworks going on.
Yeah, I think it was on Friday that they did it.
Friday. It was actually cool. They had like these this projector. Well, they had the about, I don't know, 100 guys walk out with like Roman candles, I guess, just shooting sparks. And then as they walked onto the floor, the stadium, the floor was like a big screen, and they had projectors, and you could, you know, it had a, you know, an images on the floor. And then as they walked, the fireworks like followed them on the floor. It was really cool.
Wow.
And then they had all the fireworks go off from the top of the building, and as always goes, you know, you always see that.
Yeah, that's
that
really
circle
wild.
Pattern.
Yeah,
and,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, the circle made out of. Like they call it land. I want to call them lattice. It's firework that they do to make the thing. They'll have a lot of set pieces here at the PGI as well. You know,
what does that mean? A set piece?
Lances. It's made from lances. They're like sparklers that'll form the circles and they'll form different things. They'll say like JPA or PGI.
Oh, okay.
They're called land set pieces, and big company in Minnesota makes them too. A lot of times. Precocious Fireworks, real good friend of ours, and they make a lot of set pieces like that. So you'll see a lot of that here at the PGI as well, like those four ring circles and different whatever set pieces are. You know?
Right, right. Well, how do they do it when it just goes like it flies around? I mean, that's just all electronically fired. Then,
yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how.
Yeah,
that
and I didn't see it, but or else I could further explain some of it, but. Yeah, I mean, what they do today is just so phenomenal. I mean, just incredible.
Yeah, well, they had, I guess the whole thing with the Rio thing was, it was, you know, their budget is a little limited in Rio, so they tried to give you the best bang for your buck. So it was, like I said, the biggest thing I think they spent money on was this projection system where, you know, as you would walk on the floor, there was these different images. It actually looked cool. It looked like, you know, they were actually jumping from building to building. Oh, there's the fireworks
now. Yeah, there's the fireworks now starting in the background. Yep.
It actually looked like they're jumping building to building, but it was just images on the ground and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And then the biggest thing of the night was Giselle. You know who Giselle is? Giselle Bundchen, is that her? She's married to Tom Brady. She's a Victoria's Secret model.
Oh, yes.
She's from Rio.
Oh, okay.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So she, like, they gave her, she did a, like a catwalk, but she walked like the entire length of the stadium with just like the spotlight on her, and the big floor was like, you know, enveloping her and all that stuff. And then at the end when they were singing all these songs, she was like dancing and all this stuff. So, yeah, Giselle was like the, and, you know, of course there's like 30 guys like just all drooling.
Oh, yeah.
All drooling over Giselle trying to get on camera, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I'm a, we were talking about it earlier too. I'm just amazed at all the countries I don't know. You know, when I watch I never even heard of these countries. I mean, I know I failed miserably in geography,
right.
But still, you know, I cannot believe the countries. I'm like, what country is that? And it amazed me because last time I was in China, it was some type of, you know, it was during the Olympics, and the Chinese knew all these countries. I'm like, how do you guys know? I don't know anything. I'm just not good.
Yeah, well, I saw today there was archery, and there was a country, it was Mexico, obviously, which I know, and then there was against some country named Georgia.
Yeah.
There's a country named Georgia.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I don't know how they did as far as the archery goes, but if there was a competition on based on, you know, the attractiveness of the shooters, I'd go with Mexico because they were
really
they all looked like they walked out of Lord Black
or a strip club
from Cabo, and the girls from Georgia looked like, you know, somebody who would clean your toilet, you know.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't say that, but it was there we go. We got noise now.
Oh, we got tons of noise now. Yeah, we got big. Look at all the lights flashing off my van. I brought my little convertible with me today, and I probably, you know, just gonna have stuff all, you know, fall out all over the, you know, definitely fall over all the fall out all over the car. But yeah, no, it's pretty impressive, the fireworks. I mean, imagine that, little dogs right now are just running around all scared
to death.
Yeah, oh my God, they're all just crying.
Well, there was a fireworks show. It drew nearly 1 million viewers in Tokyo. I don't know if you heard of this. 957,000 viewers of all ages craned their necks skyward to enjoy the fireworks festival in Tokyo on July 30th, marveling at the series of pyrotechnics. About 20,000 elaborate fireworks were shot up over the river in eastern Tokyo during the annual event. It looks pretty cool, but one of the things...
Oh, wow. Nearly a million viewers. Aaron, yeah, wow, yeah. That's in well, Tokyo.
And we'll go with more Olympics. So what do you know where the 2020 Olympics are?
No, I do not.
Well, guess. Tokyo.
Oh, Tokyo.
Yeah,
wow.
2020 Olympics are in Tokyo. So, and so what I found here, there's a startup company that's looking to launch, and that's why I told you the story about the 957,000 people, but there's a startup company. They're looking to launch man-made meteor shower for Tokyo opening Olympics. It's this company, and here, I don't, here, you could look through it. So what it looks like they do is they have some firework thing, and it looks like a meteor shower. So I think they actually have to, like, get in a plane, and they drop these things out of the plane, and then they come down, and as they come down, they ignite, depending on what type of chemical is in there. It'll be a different color, and it looks like a meteor shower.
Okay, so they're going to basically launch fireworks from the air downward.
Right, and as they come down, that's what will ignite them, right? As the fireworks comes down, there won't be like a fuse per se, but as it enters back into the atmosphere, it'll ignite
it. That's what's going to happen.
I thought they were
going to go up in a plane and light fireworks shooting downwards, which I thought was kind of silly. Because
No. It's the pellets cost, let's see, they're pellets. They're pellets and they're... microsatellite into space scheduled for next is low. Let's see, where is it? Atmosphere re-entry. Yeah. So, and they burn the pellets. Burn they the product. They produce different colors depending on which elements they contain.
Mm-hmm.
And geostationary orbit over the desired site. An onboard device will start spitting the pellets out like a baseball pitching machine. Based on their testing, researchers have no doubt that the pellets will burn brightly enough to be seen on the ground, even over light-polluted Tokyo within a 200-kilometer radius.
And they said that's light-polluted Tokyo.
Yeah.
Okay.
The pellets cost $8,100 each to produce, to say nothing of the satellite and launch costs. If an 8.1 million-plus light show sounds frivolous, we should point out why it's not. And then it goes on to talk about the economics of the whole thing and why it would be worth it. But that might be something to look forward to in the 2020 Olympics is an Olympic meteor shower.
Sounds like we have to take the show on the road to Tokyo.
There you go. Yeah, you talked about Tokyo.
I'm going to Tokyo this year. Yeah,
you're going this year.
Yeah, I'm going this year in October. Yeah.
Nice. Well, anyway, but then the company who actually makes this, it's Core 77, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they put out a press release, but actually it's in Japanese, so you can't read.
Oh, yeah, you can't read that.
But they put out a press release. Apparently, I think what happened was, like, this story got out there, and right away, the Olympics people are like, no, we didn't hire them. And Core 77 is like, you know, over the past few days, we've received queries regarding articles stating that we will or we are bidding to have our shooting stars showcased in the Olympics. We would like to issue a clarification that is not a claim that we... have stated or published. So basically what they're doing is saying we have nothing's formal yet, but anyway, that could be.
Well, that's pretty, it's pretty shocking because I thought, don't we want to stay away from meteor showers? Like, aren't we always afraid of that? Like, that's like our biggest fear, like a meteor, meteor shower or what's the other one where we're afraid of, like asteroids or something like that? Or coming back, you know, that's kind of like something falls out. We always worried about that. Yeah. So I think you talk about scaring the dogs. I think, a man-made meteor shower and you don't realize it's coming, I think you'd be like, holy crap. You know, I bet there's going to be a lot of UFO sightings that day, I would imagine. You know, because
people are looking at
it was UFO. I mean, so unless they really announce this, I mean, people are going to be a little scared. I think this resembles kind of that War of the Worlds with years ago, the TV or the radio talk show. You know, there's meteors coming down.
Twilight Zone.
I mean, we're paying $8,100 to scare the people.
Yeah, well, if you get
a meteor or one pellet.
Yeah, imagine like those people in Colorado or whatever, a little stoned out of their minds or
that's
whatever.
What I'm
and
saying.
Watch,
it, I mean, this could be like a War of the Worlds. Like, getting bombed over here. So, wow, $8,100 a pellet. I like to know, like, who makes these pellets. I mean,
well, that's his company's this.
I understand, but like, who actually come up with this idea? And then,
well, that's
and then how do you put a price tag on this $8,100? And actually, I mean, how do you market this company? I mean, how do you market
it? Well, I'll leave this article with you. You can read it. It's easy to read. It's a scientist, and apparently there's like real world applications for this is why somebody would spend the money on this. And this is kind of what it sounded to me like. It's like a side effect of some scientific science thing that needs to be done. It's a side effect of having this thing. This man-made meteor shower.
Yeah, so. I'm getting at. I'm sure there's some. If we do this, we're going to produce more rain, or we're going to do something.
Right. Yeah. It works out that how it would be worth out. Yeah. It worked out. So yeah. So.
Wow, that's. I mean, I have a hard time selling fireworks. This guy's selling $800 pallets. To Tokyo. I mean, God bless him.
There's a couple stories in the paper. Massachusetts, a man charged with making fireworks. You don't need to make your own fireworks. You can buy your own fireworks. How many times? I mean, you can come here and you can learn how to make fireworks,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So, but and as always, there's always the catch. So police were initially alerted on June 29th when they received a complaint of explosions coming from the home. And this is from the recorder.com. It's in Massachusetts. On the evening of June 30th, David McKerney went to investigate. And although Jordan was not home, McKerney observed explosive materials through the garage windows. Police found 5 pounds of aluminum powder.
Oh.
Is that bad?
No.
20 pounds of potassium perchlorate.
Perchlorate, yeah.
Perchlorate, mm-hmm. Cannon fuses, and cardboard cylinders, according to the report.
Well, you can buy all those right here.
Right.
Star Fireworks. Got them all.
The gentleman, Jordan Colrain.
I bet Jordan's here right now buying more chemicals.
Jordan, are you here?
I'm sure he's buying more chemicals here because they took all his stash.
Here's the I'm getting to the you should have known thing.
Yeah.
Jordan admitted that he had been building M80s, M100s, M200s, and even larger explosives in the garage, and that he also sold them. He said he ordered the materials by mail from Starfire. No, he didn't.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No.
We don't sell chemicals.
And what I think maybe what got him, police also found, what else do you think they found? In his house.
More drugs.
Yes. Police found firearms in the house and marijuana plants growing in the basement, which were both seized. So,
you know, once again, you're an entrepreneur, but the wrong way. You know, I mean, but I like how he admitted. I'd be like, I don't know, that's not my garage. You know, I just rent a house. It's not my garage. This guy admitted to selling, making, producing. You know, see over there, Ron, we got the cannon fuses there, so you can do it. We already have the capped paper tubes capped on one side, so all you have to do is cap the other side. And then we got all the shell casing, so we had everything. Then you go two doors down, you buy all your chemicals, and you're in business.
Yeah.
You can make your own. Yeah, I got the Hemis. I got the Hemis, and I got the capped paper tubes, and we got the cannon fuse. And I've gone so far that I have fuse cut in 3-inch pieces so people don't have to do it themselves. I mean, we're all about, you know, service here, service.
We're all about service at Starfires. You can buy anything you want. You can come out here and just, you can build your own foot. But there's no need to do that. It's dangerous.
Well, it is, but I mean, I'm sure this guy made a good living, and, you know, unfortunately, now, you know,
the pot, I think, got him, though.
Well, most of the time they come looking for drugs, and they stumble across the fireworks. That's usually, like, the case. And
this
then
time
just,
they were looking for the fireworks, and they found the drugs.
Yeah, I mean, six of one, half dozen of the other, you know. I mean, obviously he doesn't like rules, you know. I thought I was bad. He's really in denial.
He's a maverick.
Yeah.
He's a maverick, all right.
You know, what I try and tell this to everybody because, you know, I've been sort of a maverick all my life to an extent, but you have to real, you know, like the, I've been quoting all these different movies, you know, but, you know, a man's got to know his limitations. And, you know, in the 2016 with, you know, the internet and with cameras all over and surveillance and, you know, and so many different government agencies are, you know, like I said, without, we wouldn't need the alphabet if it wasn't for the government agencies. You know, they used every letter possible. But
right.
So I just think that the days of being a maverick, I think, is just, you know,
right.
is over. I mean, you see how it's changed. You know, Wild West, you walk around in a saloon with a gun, you know, and you just shoot people. And, you know, your life expectancy was 6 to 7 days back then. I mean, but now, I mean, so, you know, they were mavericks, you know. But and they were mavericks in the 60s and the 70s and fireworks and drugs and all that stuff. But, you know, now it's coming to an end. I mean, we just got to get a government job now and just be done.
You're going off on a little bit of a rant
well,
here.
I'm just saying.
Is this one of those times where they're going to say, should I have known? Should I have seen the signs?
Well, yeah. I mean, just, you know, that these are the signs that times have changed. You know, I mean, you know, you just can't, you know, do these maverick things anymore without without serious repercussions.
Well, yeah, and everybody. But the thing is, you could probably be mavericky, if that's a word, you know, a little mavericky if you want to be, but you can't go around posting it on Facebook and Twitter
and all that stuff. See, like they use
everybody does that.
Yeah, they're using the Facebook and the media to sell fireworks now, but they don't. They just think their friends are watching. I mean, there's other people watching. So
yeah,
the internet that'll, you know, get you more business than you ever had before will also get you caught faster than you ever been caught before.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely.
Yeah, that's my point. Is I just think the days of doing things like this guy illegally is gone. And I mean, we see a lot of mavericks here in this building tonight. There's a lot of mavericks in this building, but even they're starting to realize there's less and less mavericks out there.
Would you consider yourself a maverick?
Oh, definitely.
You are?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Of course I've
You're a maverick from, you come from a long line of mavericks.
Long line of mavericks. And then you see how the other mavericks, gravitate to me. You see that. I mean, I don't, you know, the guys come with a big cigar. They start talking. Why they do that to me? I'm a nice guy. But they gravitate to me because they see one maverick can recognize another maverick, even if you're not in maverick clothes.
Saying maverick, for God's sake.
I love the word maverick.
I love that word maverick.
I even had a maverick when I was a kid.
Did you really?
Yeah, Ford Maverick. Yes. But anyways, you have a lot of these people in this room here. And I mean, you see them coming up and they're all, you know, they don't want to talk to you over here. They want to talk to you over there. They don't want to stay. They want no one else around them.
Yeah,
they're
looking for a deal.
They go side. They look side to side. I'm looking side. I'm wondering who they're looking at. So you can always recognize the maverick when he comes to you.
You know what? If I had to pick out of all the people I know who was the most mavericky, it's certainly not any bankers that I know. So
no.
It would be you.
It would be.
To Tokyo, for God's sakes.
I win the Maverick card all non, you know, Ivan was a big fan of James Garner. I mean, so that's how, you know.
Yes, he was in the show Maverick.
Yes, he was, yeah. That's what I mean. So it's funny how you pick on a word that I know a lot about.
Every maverick wants to be a maverick with you. Just like they want to swim in your pool.
No, I noticed that. But I find it funny. And, you know, these kids here from Fargo, they don't realize that I do come from a big city. And, you know, I just think, you know, the East Coast guys, they got to hang with me. I mean, that's just that, you know, they love that.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you. That's why I do this podcast. So I can, you know, I'm a maverick podcaster. Yeah. I'm sitting here in the corner. And you know what? I'm 50 years of my life, I was never in a barn. Now that we do these podcasts, I've been in two barns in 2 years.
Two barns, yeah. I mean, you know.
One in Mason City, Iowa, and now I'm here. So, well, keeping with the Olympic theme, so if we had to go Olympics, then let's go. We go Star Chamber, you know, 1, 2, and 3. Let's go silver, bronze, silver, gold out of all your big things here. What would be the gold?
Gold definitely is going to be Burning Aces. And what is there? A hand that just comes over and hands food. This is great, I'll tell you. So
Dino's handing us some food through the window. That's
so
awesome.
Definitely I would say Burning Aces is
Burning
gold.
Burning Aces is your gold.
Is gold. You're going to definitely see probably Medusa's Revenge as the silver.
Yeah.
And then
how the Olympics work?
Yeah, not really. And then I have to start thinking what's more expensive. And with the world markets changing, you never know.
The gold medal is more prestigious.
And then the instigator of all things have moved up to bronze level with selling out, you know, like about 30 cases.
Yeah, some guy just, I saw you put 5 on some guy's little thing right there.
So, yes, I mean, it's, we have so many bronzes. I mean, they're fighting to be bronze over here, you know. And, well, the other vendors are fighting to be bronze as well. I mean, you know.
All right. Let's go through a little Indiana trivia, and then we'll wrap this up because you got some food to eat, and the people are going to be back soon. So,
yes.
Did you know Indiana leads in pharmacy robberies? In statistics, Indiana had more pharmacy robberies from the beginning of 2013 to May of this year than any other state.
So basically, we are in a state of mavericks. I mean, seriously, when you're robbing pharmacies, but there again, I mean, if you can't get the pot because this guy got busted.
Well, that was in Massachusetts.
But I'm saying, there's one maverick got caught, and that leads down many other mavericks get caught. So if you can't get the pot, or drugs legally from Mavericks,
mm-hmm.
then you have to get them illegally from the guy who gets them legal, which would be the pharmacy. I mean, if one way of looking at it.
I think we have a name for the podcast. Indiana, yeah. The state of Mavericks.
The state of Mavericks. I love it.
Indiana logged 367 robberies, and California, with a population about six times larger, came in second place with only 310 robberies in the same time frame.
Yeah.
So Indiana leads in pharmacy robberies.
Yeah, but see, now I'm not sure if you heard. Now, this is, and now I heard this now, that 10, they call them babies, but 10 kids were killed under the age of 8 years old in a month in Chicago. I mean,
well,
you know,
yeah, that Chicago's so got some bad
I
stuff.
I really think I would take the rob the pharmacy, leave the children, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, you take, what'd you say? Take the what?
You know, rob the pharmacy, leave the children. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's a, yeah, know. Maybe we should, yeah, the
unless
people
you're
Chicago.
Robbing birth control, then you're really, you know, then you're really, I don't know what to tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, then yeah, you're all messed up.
You're all
yeah,
messed
yeah.
up. So I mean, it gets out here, we'll call it Houdini.
I got some Indiana trivia.
Okay. Hopefully some better, good trivia. Not like
I don't know. Let's see. The movie Hard Rain. No, that's no good. Raggedy Ann doll was created by in Indianapolis.
Oh, I believe that.
The first professional. Why do you believe that?
I believe that. Raggedy Ann, I believe that.
All right. The first professional baseball game was played in Fort Wayne.
If you saw the cottage we were staying in, I think Raggedy Ann lived there. I think of Raggedy. I just think of it born in Indiana.
Oh, man. Let's see. You know what the motto is for Indiana? Crossroads of America.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is the crossroads of America. God bless them.
Deep below the earth in southern Indiana is a sea of limestone that is one
yes.
of the... You know this?
Yes, that I know.
It's the richest deposits of this... like the U.S. Treasury and the Pentagon and all these buildings, they use the limestone from under Indiana. How did yes. you know that?
I think that was brought out here in 2012. But, you know, they do a lot of things besides the PGI. They have all these little different tour groups and you go different things, and I think that was one of them that they
really?
Went to this limestone, or they talked about limestone. I remember that though.
Although Indiana means land of the Indians, where's Clay? Indiana means land of the Indians. There are fewer than 8,000 Native Americans living here today.
That's why I notice he gets a lot of dirty looks here. No, I and you called him Cody earlier. I just can't wait. I'm gonna tell
oh, Clay,
you.
Oh,
yeah, Ron
yeah,
called
yeah.
you Cody. Yeah, he'll love that.
Let's see what else we got. Chicago gangster John Dillinger escaped in Lake County Jail.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
What about, I mean, what about, I mean, didn't Regis Philbin go to Purdue? I mean, that's.
No, he went to Notre Dame, which is.
Oh, Notre Dame. Yeah, Notre Dame.
David Letterman
yes,
that, went to.
No, he went
born
to
in Ball State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I took my son to.
Oh, there we go. There's a big one.
On Thursday. Oh, Friday, actually. I took a tour of Ball State.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that is?
No.
It's in Muncie, Indiana.
Mm.
It's a nice school.
I know Muncie, Indiana. I know I've been through Muncie, Indiana.
Not a great place.
No.
There's a lot of trailer parks.
Yeah.
I mean, there was literally... I saw more people sitting on their front porches in their living room furniture. In, you know what I mean? They sit
yeah.
on their couch on the front porch.
On the front
yeah.
porch,
and
yeah.
my... Needless to say, my son was like, no, I don't think I want to go here. So, but
yeah.
Yeah, he... It,
well,
but it,
once again, born with a silver spoon.
Yes, yes. Red Skelton was born here.
Yeah.
First major railroad, farming community. I don't know. There's not that much. All right. How about famous people?
Famous people? David Letterman, right?
Yes, David Letterman. Who else is on this list? Ann Baxter. There's not nobody good.
Wait. I don't know anyone. I mean, you know,
James Dean.
Oh, and now see the first page. I knew nobody.
Steve McQueen.
Okay, yeah, Steve McQueen.
John Mellencamp.
Larry Bird. Larry Bird. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brendan Fraser. Michael
now,
Jackson.
Now Sidney Irwin Pollock. Now, that's funny because when I went to the fish fry on Friday, they were serving Pollock. So I thought maybe that maybe had something to do with him.
There you
he
go.
Might have named it after him.
There you go.
You know, John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah.
But see, now that was back in a day where you could get discovered. And look how many famous people came out of Detroit in the music industry. That's incredible.
Right. Right.
You know, now it seems like everyone's got to get discovered in, you know, on American Idol or in Hollywood. You know.
Right. Right. Right.
It's just different.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Forrest Tucker, American actor, but, you know, but once again, is all years ago. Nobody, you know.
Nobody recently was from
nobody
Indiana.
Nobody recently.
David Lee Roth is from Indiana.
Yeah. Michael Jackson was Indiana. Yeah, that's, well, that's pretty good.
And that's why we had that Jackson song in the beginning with the Indiana Wants Me.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the back page, though, yep, see, look at it. The most famous guy I would relate to, David Letterman, and then he's on the very back. He's like the latest one.
Have you seen him lately? He's got a he looks like Santa Claus. He's got a beard, really long beard. He's like he just went into
They go into full retirement,
full blown retirement,
or you know they don't have to look good for the public anymore. Which you know
probably
I mean,
threw all his suits in the incinerator.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to wear one again.
Yeah, I'm happy that, you know, once again, a man's got to know his limitations.
All right. One more thing. And
Regis Philbin stopped dyeing his hair.
Oh, did he? So he's all gray now?
He's all gray, but he looks better. I mean, you know.
I had a Regis always looks good.
No, he does.
Yeah, you're a big Regis guy. I can't go against Regis.
Yeah,
I had a, you know, did you ever see the little signs, WWJD?
WWJD.
I think it's what would Jesus do? Like so people who are very spiritual or religious, they'll have a they'll have a sign in their house, what would Jesus do? WWJD.
Oh yeah, I thought it was a radio station at first when you said that. WWJD.
Like welcome to WWJD. Live in front of your naked steaming ears. No, it was WWJD is what would Jesus do? But I changed it the other day, Thursday afternoon. I was having it was a business lunch, and I was having business lunch with this lady who I've known. I used to work with her at a prior place, and but she's like the gatekeeper, so she can get me into the guy who can you know I could do a lot of business with, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been working on her for like 2 years. She's a real nice lady. We have a lot in common. We used to work together, like I said, and but we'd always keep it nice and light and casual, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we started talking, and all of a sudden. Like for 45 minutes, she just started telling me about her dog. So she got a dog. I think from what I gleaned from the conversation, she's this person. She's the type of person that, well, I don't think she can have children.
Oh.
So she's the type of person who completely replaces the dog for the person. I mean, she was telling me how the dog went to the school and then there was like a little dust up and some dogs got in a fight, so she was traumatized, and then she was supposed to go on vacation the next day, but she made her husband go on vacation alone because she had to be with the dog because she had a bad feeling something bad was going to happen to the dog. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was just and I can understand it. She was basically treating the dog like
the dog really
like
engulfs her whole life.
Engulfs her whole life. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, you know, I could tell her that I'm not really an animal lover, and then I probably lose her, right? So I'm thinking to myself, what would John, instead of what would Jesus do, what
would
Johnny
do?
Exactly. I was like, what would Johnny do?
When you said that after Jesus, the first thing I said, well, you know, it could be Jesus. But
no, it's Johnny.
But and then I said, you know, and then I thought to myself, yeah, what would Johnny do? Yeah,
what would Johnny do? So you would just go along with her and say, yeah, I love dogs too.
Oh my God. But I'm telling the truth though.
I mean, if you were in my situation, you would.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have any. It's not like pride or anything. It's not like I denounced my religion or my ethnicity. I just said, well, yeah, I like, and I do like dogs. I'm not a dog.
No, you don't. Let's not lie here on the podcast.
I'd put a golf club in his mouth in a thunderstorm and chain him to the chain link fence.
Yeah, you don't love. I'm an animal lover, and I will say that. But I understand what you're saying. Like,
I had to go along with her, and I had to just. Yeah,
I'm in the same boat when people come here and they start telling me about their babies and their kids.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat. I have, you know, I don't want to tell them I don't have any children. I really don't know
and
anything.
You have no desire to ever
and
have
I,
children.
No, but I go along and I'm like, oh, I mean, you know, I mean, geez, you know, I told you, I mean, we ran into a pregnant DOT lady and I asked, oh, my God, I'm so excited. Is your first one? When's it due? I didn't really care. But I had to do it, you know. So, yeah, you got to go
I did the
along.
Right thing. I went along with it. I said, oh, yeah, you know, I took my dog to training class, and I basically got down.
Now, if you want to really, next time you meet her, if you really want to get in, you should give her some pointers, because obviously she's never had a dog before, just first dog probably?
I think maybe.
Okay, so one thing that what would Johnny do is when you go to the vet with the dog, vets sense the way you are, and they charge accordingly.
Oh, I did not know
that.
Yeah.
So, what Johnny would do was I would park my car about a block away.
Okay.
I would wear very old shoes, and old clothes.
Yeah.
And when I went in with my dog, you know, naturally the vet said, "How you doing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm just bringing a dog in, you know, get the checkup, you know, how's everything going?" I'm like, "Well, the dog's doing fine, but, you know, unfortunately, I lost my job last week, and, you know, and my wife left me, and all I got left is this little dog, you know." So if you put it in that perspective, you get treated a little bit better from the veterinarian. Right. Now, if you walk in like, "Oh, I don't know what's wrong with the dog."
Yeah.
They sense that.
And they see the money coming right out of your wallet.
Oh, my God. You know,
like divorce lawyers, and they look at your financial statement just so they know how much you can spend.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you want to give her a pointer, tell her if, you know, she drives a nice car, don't take it. Wear older clothes and pretend that the dog is the only thing you have left in your life because you lost everything else.
Well, I was actually thinking of going one up. Like I said, she holds the key where I can get a lot of business from her. I was thinking of like going to PetSmart and buying something, a bag of biscuits or whatever, and send it to her office.
Well, that would be very nice. But, yeah, that's very good.
The dog's name was Archie.
I think they call that bribery. Bribery for dogs.
No. It's a gift. I honestly, I like her. She's a great lady, and we've had a relationship. I've known her for 5-6 years at least, and she's a very nice lady. But this is the first time she ever went all out and just like she opened up about this dog and, you know, how she canceled the vacation. I was like, oh, wow, that's like.
Yeah, no, like I say, dogs today, I mean, are, you know, well, but you know, one of our guys here, Rob Burke, said the same thing. They bought 2 dogs when they couldn't have children. Now they have 5 children and 2 dogs. I mean, so, see, sometimes you got to be careful. Sometimes you buy the children and the babies come. That's how it works, you know. I mean, that's happened. You know, my parents bought my brothers, and then boom.
Then I came.
So, I mean, had they just been a little more patient. But
yeah,
anyways,
you'd have the whole.
I don't want to talk about that. No.
One more story, and then we'll go. So, I thought you would enjoy this one. This is a student. I don't think you've ever heard of this, but Rachel Hoover is her name. She persuaded, this is from Illinois, I think she actually lives in Arlington Heights. She persuaded state employees to photograph her wearing a colander on her head. Here's a picture. Wait, I'll show it to you.
Oh, wow. A colander on her head. Yes.
So she wore a picture of a colander on her head when she took her driver's license photo in recognition of her, wait for it, Pastafarian beliefs. So this was like a thing for her, like a what would you call it, a protest, saying, you know, some people could come in and have their pictures taken for their driver's license with you can't see their face or whatever. So she's saying that her religion dictates that she hails pasta and she has to wear the colander on her head, and she demanded that she wears it, and they let her wear it, and they took the picture. But then all of a sudden, the Illinois Department of Transportation called her up and said, "Hey, we made a mistake. You really got to come. Well, we're going to take your driver's license back." And she's like refusing. She's saying, "Well, no, you let other people take their pictures where you can only see their eyes." So on June 27th, 21-year-old college student Rachel Hoover of Arlington Heights went to get her license renewed Secretary of State in Schaumburg, Illinois. She told employees that she wanted to wear a metal colander on her head for the photo in honor of her religious beliefs. The employees balked, but Hoover insisted the distinctive headwear is a symbol for those who claim membership in the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, a loose affiliation of skeptics whose supported belief system satirizes claims made by conventional religions.
Well, see, we need, honestly,
this was like a whole viral thing.
You know, I really want to reach out to her because I applaud her for what she's doing, because we need to seriously do something, because it is so. You know, and I have this trouble at the airport. I fly a lot and I travel a lot. And, you know, there's people that go into the metal detector with a lot of extra stuff on their body.
Right.
You know, I have to take off my jacket. I have to take off my sweater. I got to take off my shoes. I got to take off my belt. I mean, I have to do all kinds of things. And then the guy in front of me doesn't have to take off a lot of this extra robing, I'm going to call it.
Right.
You know, because that's part of his religion. So part of my religion is I don't like taking off my shoes.
Right.
But, you know, but I can't get away with that. Now, one lady, you know, she's got a friend of mine. She's diagnosed with, a friend of a friend, stage 4 lung cancer. And, you know, she's doing really good. But she's like, no, I'm not taking. She, like, put up a fight at the airport because, you know, when you got stage 4 cancer, you almost say what you want to say.
Well, right. Yeah. You got
mean,
nothing
you know,
to lose
do,
at this
lock
point.
Me up. I mean, yeah, you know, give me chemo for free, I guess. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Right.
But, so. But you need, we need at some point, we better start standing up for ourselves. And, you know, this is a touchy subject for me, but I applaud her because, you know, when you live in America, we shouldn't cater to everybody else and everyone else, but they don't want to, but they don't cater to our own citizens. And when you said that, I thought, wow, how'd she get away with that? Because that's highly illegal.
Right. Well,
but
she insisted.
She insisted. And that's why I think we have to start doing now is insisting on certain things because they do it for everybody else, but they don't do it for our own American right. citizens. So I think it's a good thing.
Well, they told her her license would be revoked July 29th unless she gets a new strainer-free photo taken. She is exploring. This was July 20th. I don't know what happened. I bet you if you Google it, you'll find out what happened. She was exploring her legal options. State officials were just trying to use a little common sense, Secretary of State spokesman David Drucker told Tribune freelance reporter. It almost looks like Pastafarians are a mockery of religion. There's no almost about it. The Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, FSM for short, is a broad spoof on all supernatural belief systems and asks for special treatment by citing the constitutional guarantee of free exercise of religion.
Well, see,
so
that's
she's going way out there, but she's proven a point.
She's proven a point, and that's why I say no. But she could have made up another religion, and she could have went in headgear and everything else and been fine. But you know,
the flying spaghetti monster is kind of
yes.
Funny.
I mean, so but because you know, but if there was enough flying spaghetti monsters out there, then she'd be okay. You know, just
right.
like we let
right.
all these people into the country, that's, and they say, well, they're this. We don't even know about this religion. We
right.
had no idea about this religion until they start letting everybody in.
Right.
So.
Right.
If there was a bunch of spaghetti monster,
flying spaghetti monster,
flying spaghetti monsters, Pastafarians, in just say the country of Georgia,
right.
we would
right.
let them
right.
in
and right.
and adapt to
right.
the Pastafarians,
yeah.
because that's how retarded we really are as a nation.
We are a little,
but
a little goofy. Well.
But I'm glad that, and she's rolling tonight. So we should get her on a podcast. We really should.
We could call
yeah,
her.
Like, call
I'm
her.
I'm going to try and find her for
yeah,
the next one.
Yeah. I like to talk to a fellow
Pastafarian. It's a little bit out of our range of fireworks, though. But whatever,
yeah.
we'll still talk.
Well, she is a Pastafarian, and we are a pasta firework. We could call us Presto.
There you go, Presto. All right. Well, it's been good. It's been
yes.
fun. We're leaving LaPorte, Indiana. I'm leaving LaPorte, Indiana.
Yes.
I'm going to go back home. You're here for another few days.
I'm here
days.
For another few days.
Well, good. Are you going to stick around for the show on Friday?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I wouldn't miss it for nothing in the world.
Well, good luck. I hope you guys do a lot of good business. And I think the next time I see you will be at the NFA because that's next month.
Yes, NFA's next month will be in Grand Rapids, is it?
Is it Grand Rapids or is it Kalamazoo?
No, it's Grand Rapids, Michigan, not
Perfect.
Kalamazoo. Yeah, Grand Rapids.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one. NFA
yes.
will be good. We did that last time from
Yeah, we'll be outside
Tennessee.
The hotel. Outside the banquet hall at the hotel, we'll get some guest speakers here.
Yeah.
We did have one guy that wanted to speak today with us, but we just couldn't get him over here. But
okay.
We'll maybe see him at the NFA, I'm sure.
Who's that?
Geez, I'm trying to think of his name. But he helped out a lot with the – and he listens to our podcast regularly. Helped out a lot with the with that movie. He was one of the
Pass
guys
fire?
There. Pass Fire, yeah.
I want to do a Pass Fire. Maybe can we set it up where we do a companion where we watch it with him? Did he do the movie?
I think it's just about finished. Yeah, this guy.
No,
did.
The movie's done.
Yeah, the movie's done. But I'm saying this guy. Yeah, this guy worked.
He
a
was
lot
one
with
of the.
It.
Yeah, so
yeah, I think you met him before last year.
I think
of his
so.
Name.
Can we
yeah.
sit? Can we sit with him and watch the movie and talk about it on
well,
a podcast?
Maybe, we probably can.
It's called
sure.
a companion piece.
Companion piece. Yeah.
Well, give me his information. I'll email.
I'll give his information. You can,
all right.
I'll see him. He'll be walking around. He'll be coming back.
Maybe we could try and do that from like the hotel room or something
okay.
While we're at NFA.
Yeah, or at least watch a segment of or something you can explain
yeah,
to
yeah,
us.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah.
How long is the movie? About 2 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it would be one of our longest.
Maybe do one of a segment or something
segment
like that. Yeah.
We can't go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Well, all right. Well, I'll see you next time at NFA.
All right. Sounds good.
Go and, on. Keep being mavericky.
Yes. I'm gonna. In fact, I'm going to put up a sign here at the home of the Maverick. The real, if you want to buy fireworks, buy from the real Maverick.
You should call. You should name one Maverick.
I think I will.
I had a lot of cool names. There was a lot of cool names I saw. Wait, let me go through
them. Write them down.
Well, no, wait. No, that I saw today. Mm. Oh, actually, I did see a good one for you, though. I don't know if you'll like it. You don't watch Game of Thrones, do you?
No.
All right, Game of Thrones, you know what it is, though. It's a show on HBO,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And Cersei is a queen, Queen Cersei, and there was a really big scene, and she basically blew up all of the people who were going against her. She, like, blew up half of the people in the town and with this green explosive stuff, and I was thinking you call it Cersei's Revenge, and you can have, like, a green firework.
Oh,
Anyway, anyway.
Yeah, that'd be different.
All right, so here we have Vaminos Pest. One of them today I saw.
Venomous Pest, okay.
Vanimos.
Vanimos?
Vamanos. I don't know.
I thought it looked
Heisenberg?
Like Heisenberg, that's good.
That's from Breaking Bad. You have Breaking Eggs.
Yeah, I have Breaking Eggs, yeah.
That's from Breaking Bad, that picture.
Almost like the Jewish guy that sunk the Titanic, Iceberg.
Absolute and Jack, they look like Jack Daniel
That's when that comes out of Missouri. You know, when you sit around on Jack Daniels and get high, yeah, that's what happens.
Creeping Death, that's actually a Metallica song.
Yeah, Creeping Death.
Somebody stole that one. Death Bomb, keeping with the death theme.
Yeah.
There was this other one here. Which one was this? This was, I don't understand. What is this a good name for a firework? Bored and Stoked?
No.
That doesn't seem like a good name, but that's something you can get here. Here's like a cute one for the kiddies. Snowball Fight.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, that's a nice one. Yeah, finally something good. Is that next door over here? King Bird, maybe? Or?
I think it was right over there. Pyro Planet. Mm-hmm. Chupacabra.
Oh. Mm.
Keeping with the Mexico theme. And there was this one place, they had all these things that were toads. Totally amazeballs, totally wasted, totally stoked. Totally marked. Everything had toad in it. They had like a whole toad line.
Oh, really? Who's that?
I don't know. Go across the way over there. All toads. That seemed weird.
Yeah, that seems weird.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but that's, yeah. So, well, we got
some
fireworks.
Like it's weird and all seems like the guy's lazy. Like, yeah, just totally stoked.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
Totally
yeah, let's
awesome.
Do another toad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's,
yeah, yeah. You got you know, All-in-One Eruption. You got
names from all, yeah. I want to just put everything brown wrap and just call it a day,
call
you know.
Call it a day.
Yeah. What's this one do? I don't know.
Give
88
me your,
shots.
Give
yeah,
me your
I
40
know.
Bucks. I'm done.
Yeah, 44 shots, 88. Just pick your shots. There's a brown label for everybody.
That would be Dino's.
Yeah. Brown label for everybody. Just pick a number of shots you want.
Here, you want something on it? Here's a crayon.
Yeah,
draw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, yeah, it sounds like they had the finale, so people are going to be coming back. So, all right,
wrap up and eat up.
Talk to you later.
All righty. Sounds good. Bye. See you.